Today on Real Radio.
You are so valuable to God that his son would come at Christmas and entered into this pathetic world to be treated like he was treated, to go to the cross. It wasn't an accident and it wasn't an incident. It was the very plan of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his special Christmas series known simply as Behold. You know, when we think of the power of God, we often have a tendency to gravitate toward Genesis 1:1, the part of the scripture that tells us how the Almighty spoke the universe into existence. Isn't that amazing? It really is awesome. But if your life's been transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit, you know that his greatest of powers is found in John 3:16. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses today in a study which is part of his Christmas series. It's called Behold, the Power of God.
Revelation 19, and we're going to look at verse 6. That's our theme for tonight because we are looking at a message entitled in our Behold series, Behold, the Power of God. The Power of God. Revelation 19, verse 6. And of course, as you're turning there, when we talk about the power of God, we are, of course, talking about the attribute of God known as his omnipotence. Omnipotence. Omni, all about, all around, all over, all encompassing, and power. God's power is all powerful. Revelation 19:6, John says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters. You ever hear such a sound like that? It's awesome. And as the sound of mighty thunderings. Now look, it wasn't a waterfall and it wasn't thunder. This is what it was. He heard voices saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God, what? Omnipotent reigns. That's what's going on in heaven. This morning, this church graduated some people into heaven. And what are they listening to right now? They're listening to Revelation 19, verse 6. They are hearing and probably singing with the heavenly host about the omnipotent power of God. I hope you understand that. The moment the Christian departs from this world and enters eternity, that Christian enters into the great heavenly host, the great crowd of witnesses of worshipers. That's what we do. That's why, honestly, as a Christian here on earth, I don't get Christians who do not worship here on earth. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know if you understand where you're going, but I don't know about you, but I don't want to look like a jerk in heaven. I want to know the songs, and my voice is pathetic, believe me. If you ever heard me sing, you just, stop. But I got to tell you, in heaven, my voice is going to be perfect because there's no sin in heaven. And I'm going to sound really good. And I want to be able to sing. And I'm going to be able to sing. And so it's in the heart. That's one of the things, few things, as people who are bound to this earth at this time, is we can pray. That transcends this orb. And we enter eternity when we pray. Do you ever think about that? When we pray, we enter eternity in our prayers. Think about that. You're sending that prayer up ahead into an eternal realm. The Bible tells us that when one sinner repents and comes to Christ, angels in heaven rejoice. That means salvation affects eternity in an instant. Imagine that. And the third thing that I can find in Scripture is worship. When we worship God in Pacific time zone here, it affects him in eternity time zone. In an instant. Is that awesome? So here's the funny thing. Why don't we lead more people to Christ? Why do we not pray more? Why don't we sing more and worship? Isn't it weird? Kind of convicting, huh? I'm convicted. It just goes to show you that you and I live in a world that is hostile to our true lifestyle. that we've been born again. Our citizenship is in heaven. But you and I are struggling in this life because we're not of this world. And so think about those things. Tonight I want to suggest to you that as we look at the real power of God, that it's not the power of God and the real power of God that he used to create the universe. I don't think so. Or what he used in power to create the earth. Now you think about that for a moment. The earth is pretty awesome. We have used the Hubble Space Telescope to look into every direction, and we've seen some awesome things and wonderful things, but nothing compares to planet Earth thus far. You know that? Nothing. It is a perfect blue ball in the middle of a wasteland. God created, the Bible says, the heavens and the earth, but I don't think that that's his crowning power. And I'm not talking about his animal kingdom. Don't we all love our animals? I mean, they're great. Today I was studying and I had my little dog sitting next to me. She's just so cute. Obviously, God made her. She's definitely born again. She loves the Lord. And now you'll think me strange, but you don't know him. We have a canary at home. His name is Frank Sinatra. He's amazing. And today I just set him out by the chair where I was studying, and he's sitting out there and he's singing. I'm studying the Bible, man. I got my little dog sitting next to me and the canary singing praises unto God. And God has made amazing things. But in his creative works of assembling this world and the universe and the animal kingdom, that's not his crowning work. I don't think that's his crowning power. As awesome as his creation of weather is. In fact, let me ask you this. In your mind, when I ask you, to think or to write down or to say what comes to mind when you think about the power of God, most people, including myself, immediately go to the weather stuff. Oh, great storm. Have you ever been in a big storm? I've never been in a big storm on the ground so much. I've been in big storms in airplanes, which is not all that fun. But immediately you become humbled. Immediately you're frail. It's amazing. So when you think about the power of God, you think about what it takes. And do you understand that? Supposedly we've got rain and snow, rain coming here, snow to our mountains. And I don't know if you take the time to realize one drop that hits the ground is a miracle. Do you know that's a scientific miracle, one drop? You know, you should see what it takes to get one drop to come over and land on your head. It's amazing. God evaporates it up into the atmosphere, sends just the proper right amount of dust particles that are always ambient in the air around the world, and the water molecule latches onto that little piece of dust or volcanic ash, whatever's floating out there invisibly because it's so small to us, and that hangs on there and it picks up more water molecules, and then when the temperature is just right, according to God's science, he forms a cloud. And you can pass your hand through the cloud, right? You can fly an airplane through the cloud. But if you've noticed, if you've ever flown through a cloud, or maybe you're in a balloon and you go through the cloud, you'll notice things get moist. They get moist, but nothing's falling yet. But at just the right moment, based on God's engineering, he causes the cloud, which you can walk through or pass through, to go solid. And it falls. It's called rain. And in the book of Job, God challenges Job. Do you understand this, Job? Remember, Job was kind of, I mean, I don't want to ever criticize Job. That guy was awesome, and I could never have done what he did. I could never do what he did. But at one point, Job gets a little bit kind of, oh, you know, I wish I had never born. And God says, hey, you know what? Let me ask you a few questions. I want you to stand up, too. God says, stand up. I want to talk to you. Can you imagine? And he goes, where were you when I flung the stars into space, Job? Answer me. I'm sure you know. Isn't that amazing? Read Job 28 to 38. It'll freak you out. And he says, hey, Job, you know, do you know how it is? Do you know what I did to cause the animals in the wilderness to be pregnant for so many months and then for their young to be born and then to feed them after God says, I feed them. And he says, you know what? And what about when I lay down with my breath? Is this awesome? The power of God? He says, I lay down with my breath. The frost, and I completely flock the ground with ice and snow. God says he does that. And tonight you might be saying, well, you know, actually, scientifically, that's not exactly. God is the God of science. Science is his work. And that's exciting. As awesome as the weather is, as awesome as his celestial design is, Jupiter, Mars, the galaxies, the Pleiades, Orion, the constellations, the X Factor constellation, on and on it goes. That's not his most powerful work. I must confess, though, when I think of God's most powerful work, if I had to point on something other than what I'm going to tonight to drive this point home, because I'm a born and raised Southern California guy, I have lived through all of our earthquakes in the Southland, and you never get complacent about an earthquake. You may get complacent about other things, but never that. When the ground shakes, will you agree with me? You instantly are at the mercy of God. The most unbelieving, atheistic person gets religion in an earthquake. And it's great to watch. Everybody starts praying. It's awesome. These powers, can I suggest to you that all the things I've mentioned are powers that God has allowed us to see on display that are simply hints about his great and awesome, I believe, true power. And it has to do with, of course, Christmas and Jesus coming is the fact that God redeems a fallen human being. Think of it. It's bigger than a storm. It's bigger than an earthquake. It's bigger than Jupiter. It's bigger than the sun. Like John Lennox, the great mathematician, says, as amazing as the sun is, you are far more important than the sun. You say, really? I am, really? Yep, listen, and this is great logic. You are completely aware of the sun, but the sun has no knowledge of you at all whatsoever. Is that not true? Think of that. You need to chew on that the next time you're bummed out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that if, can I change it this way? If you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. And you are so valuable to God that his son would come at Christmas to be born into this world. Let's be honest. If you move from heaven to earth, if location, location, location is the deal, then God took a big step down and entered into this pathetic world to be treated like he was treated, to go to the cross. It wasn't an accident and it wasn't an incident. It was the very plan of God. To do what? To accomplish what? To redeem you and I from the pit, from hell, from death. That's what Christmas is all about. And that's why we worship him. The greatest work that God has ever accomplished, I offer to you tonight, is the salvation of a lost world. That is the greatest thing. If somebody ever asks you, what's the greatest thing that God ever did? It's not Genesis 1:1, as beautiful as that is. It's John 3:16. It's this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 says, then the 11 disciples went away. Remember, they were missing one. He was possessed by Satan, Judas. Then the 11 disciples went away into the Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, the word is also translated properly in the New King, in the Old King James as power. It's a good word. All power has been given to me. And we would say, why, Jesus? Well, in heaven and on earth, and this is the reason, I'm sending you out because of this power. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. So tonight we look at part two. Behold the power of God. Mark it down. Here it is. Behold the power of God. The first thing that we look at tonight is the power of God is observable. Will you write that down? I want to bring this message together with these points this way. Looking at some of the natural things. Listen, class. Looking at some of the natural things that you and I can observe, and then translating that into the things that, frankly, I think only the Christian can observe. And this is important. So here we go. The power of God is observable. By being observable to a degree, I mean this. By what is observable, listen, that is enough for us. God has revealed enough in this physical created universe of ours to show us enough about his character, about his attributes. When we consider the Christ of Christmas, baby Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, in fact, for that matter, Genesis 1:1, if you follow the pathology of the engineering and of the execution of the engineering, the Bible says in those verses that it is ultimately Jesus Christ who is the contractor, who is the builder of all things that have been made. And he's the same one that has come. And the Bible says he's the same one that ascended. And happily, he's the same one tonight that is building a place for you and I in heaven, John 14. What an amazing thought. But in this physical universe, what can we learn about eternity, about Christmas, from the observable world that you and I experience? And you think about cosmology, the study of the heavens, or physics, biology. These are things, listen, I want to suggest this to you tonight. These are things that if you study them, you will know God more. I believe if you truly go into the areas of higher education, I really believe this. You should come out knowing God more. And let me tell you, if you are a nurse or a doctor, a chemist, a biologist, a pharmacist even, I think you have a great, great understanding of the attributes of God. Never think, Christian, that good study, good science contradicts God. God is the author of good science and good study. There is no contradiction between God and his created universe. That would be insane. And I need you to remember that. Observable. What is observable? And when we think about Jesus coming and we think about our lives and the greatest power that God can display, the redemption of a human being, which is exciting tonight, because no matter who you and I are, no matter what we've gone through, whatever we've experienced, we can be redeemed from it. Can someone say amen to that? Were you in a rotten home? Were you abused as a child? Did you rob a bank? Hey, listen, I met some people in this church who are murderers. They did their time and they got out. Pastor, where are they? One's right at, no, I'm kidding. Do you really believe God can redeem? I know he can. And I want you to remember this tonight. I know he can. And I want to lovingly challenge you. Do you know he can? What has been observable in your life? In Psalm 139, verse 13, the Bible says, "For you formed my inward parts," David is speaking. Think of it. This is great. Again, for those of you who are in chemistry, biology, physicians, the Bible says that God formed our inward parts. Have you ever taken the time to look in the inward parts? I mean, I've never looked into a human inward parts, but I did a lot of surgeries on animals in my career before I came to start the church. And this little flap does this. And when you pull, look, what does this thing do? Oh, this is the part, this gland regulates this in the body of this animal. Well, how do you get all this tubing into that little animal? Oh, you wrap it this way, a very specific way it's wrapped. It's genius mathematics. God does this stuff. David says, how does David know this? This is 3,000 years old. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How do you know? Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, in the womb, being assembled. Wow. Don't raise your hand, but are you pregnant tonight? There's a miracle going on in there. There's a factory Did you know by the time you're ready to give birth, do you know that you'll nearly double your volume of blood in your body, Mom? And did you? That's a miracle. No wonder. See, that's why you get tired too, you know? You understand? When you get pregnant, you get tired. You know what? You're an amazing factory producing all this chemistry and biology to get this little kid going. And then did you know this? Did you know that God, and no one knows how this happens. The moment of conception, this has nothing to do with their study, but the moment of conception, there's this explosion of information. It's almost impossible to study. The sperm and the egg, boom, conception takes place, and a miracle happens. There's so much life taking place that if the cell replication at the rate of growth after inception, pregnancy's underway. If God didn't regulate the growth rate of those cells replicating, in 9 months, the baby would be born 1.5 tons in size. Did you know that? And no one knows how or why. It speeds up and slows down at just the right times, like an accordion by God. At just the right time, it'll speed up, and lungs will be formed, and then it slows down. And then we need to beef up that brain a little bit, and it speeds up, and then it slows down. If it was unregulated, if it was just left as at the moment of conception, every baby would be 1.5 tons at birth. And David says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The power of God. Why do I say this? Because if God can regulate stuff like that makes us go, wow, then listen, what about salvation? God has given us all these things to know that we can marvel at salvation. We just don't meditate on it enough. We need to slow down. It's Christmas. We're so funny. Get that. That'd be fine. He'll like it. If not, he can bring it back himself. Get the gift receipt. Go. Okay, wrap this one. What about that thing? I don't know. Get 4 of them. Just come on. Quick. We have to hurry. Hey, okay. Merry Christmas. Go. See ya. That's wrong. It's wrong, man. You know how I did that so well is because that's all I've been doing lately. So. But he has done such greater things than the physical creation. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Listen to that. This is the greater power. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the life-transforming power of Almighty God. Behold, the power of God. That's the title of this lesson, Behold, the power of God. It's part of Pastor Jack's special Christmas series we're taking a look at this week, here on Real Radio. The series is simply called Behold. Behold is a Christmas series, but you can already tell that it's something that you can listen to, and it can really make a big difference in your life any time of the year. It's chock full of scripture, and it takes a look at one of the most riveting chapters in the greatest story ever told, Messiah being born into the world. Now, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Behold for your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio for any amount. Just be sure that whether you call, click, or write, you ask for it by name. One simple word, Behold. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll see right away where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like the traditional way, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Mention it by name, Behold, the 5-DVD series, by Pastor Jack. Our phone number, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all this contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.